Live from NPR News, I'm Jack Spear. Health officials in the Pacific Northwest are warning that air quality continues to deteriorate due to the ongoing wildfires there. NPR's Kirk Sigler reports much of the region is forced to stay indoors, enduring a fourth straight day of hazardous air quality.
The wildfires themselves have burned a still untold number of homes and forced thousands of Californians and Oregonians to evacuate. But the smoke is the ancillary fallout that will affect millions of Westerners. Even in the drier inland northwest cities far away from the fires, visibility has been reduced to less than a half mile at times. Residents are being told to stay indoors, and there are mounting concerns about vulnerable populations being exposed to this smog for days on end. These aren't just forest fires. Health officials warn this smoke contains dangerous toxins like lead paint from destroyed homes, burnt cars, gas tanks, and power lines. Kirk Sigler, NPR News, Boise.
Former Vice President Joe Biden is making his first trip to Florida as the Democratic presidential nominee. Biden's campaign making it clear he needs to do a better job of reaching out to the state's Latino voters, a bloc President Trump is also courting in a pivotal state in the presidential race. Biden is holding a roundtable with veterans and marking Hispanic Heritage Month. Latinos make up a fifth of eligible voters in Florida. There are worries Biden's standing among the key voting bloc is slipping. Hurricane Sally continues to creep along with the northern Gulf Coast, watching and waiting. As Dave Dunwoody reports from member station WWF in Pensacola, precise location of Sally's landfall remains unclear.
The slower the pace, the more warm Gulf water Sally can suck up and eventually drop onto land. That's likely to be late tonight or early Wednesday morning, somewhere along the Alabama-Mississippi state line. Escambia County Sheriff David Morgan is asking the public to draw upon their experiences in past hurricane seasons.
We can all get through this, folks. You know, we all got PhDs in how to handle hurricanes and storms in Escambia County. And so let's continue with this education to keep your family and help us in keeping our community safe.
Steering currents in the Gulf will determine exactly where Sally will come ashore. Forecasters expect record-breaking rainfall, possibly up to 30 inches in some areas. For NPR News, I'm Dave Dunwoody in Pensacola, Florida.
President Trump's pick for the Federal Reserve Board's interest rate setting arm does not appear to have the votes needed in the U.S. Senate to win confirmation. Senate Majority Whip John Thune saying in terms of the needed votes to confirm Judy Shelton, GOP lawmakers are still working on it. Two Republican senators have already said they'll oppose Shelton, and if two more join, she'd become the fifth Trump pick to be blocked from joining the top ranks of the U.S. Central Bank. Stocks logged a second straight session of gains. The Dow was up 2 points today. The Nasdaq rose 133 points. The S&P 500 closed up 17 points. This is NPR. The shortlist for the Booker Prize for Literature was announced today. As NPR's Rose Friedman reports, the prestigious British award goes to a work of fiction written in English.
This year's winner is called The Discomfort of Evening in English. It's a debut novel by 29-year-old Dutch writer Marieke Lucas Rijnveld, the prize's youngest ever winner. It was a bestseller in the Netherlands and was translated by Michelle Hutchison. Rijnveld, who uses they and them pronouns, grew up in a Christian agricultural community in the Netherlands and still works on a farm. The novel is set on a dairy farm and follows a family spiraling into darkness after the death of a son. Rijnveld has said that the book has caused some friction with family members, but in accepting the prize, said, quote, "I can say only that I am as proud as a cow with seven udders." Rose Friedman, NPR News, New York.
The nation's median income hit a record high last year while the poverty rate declined, though census officials were quick to note that those numbers came out before millions of American jobs were wiped out by the coronavirus pandemic. Census officials also say the COVID-19 outbreak has caused problems in terms of obtaining data, some of which they gathered during the coronavirus lockdown. However, based on the numbers they have, the Census Bureau says median household income last year rose 6.8% to $68,703, meaning half of survey respondents made less than that, half made more. The poverty rate fell to 10.5%. Crude oil futures prices rose amid expectations of some supply disruption due to hurricanes hitting the U.S. Oil up $1.02 a barrel today, to close at $38.28 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News.